Postgame on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are here, and so is the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. We've invited 15 sharp minds for the world of VSiN and Killer Sports to go head-to-head, making 38 picks each from the start of the playoffs all the way through the NBA Finals. We did the math for you. That's a total of 570 NBA playoff picks, all available to VSiN Pro subscribers. Picks are locked in 1 hour before the first game each day, so you'll have fresh insights to guide your bets every step of the postseason. And right now, you can get full VSiN Pro access through August 1st for just $59. Don't miss this playoff edge. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. And as I mentioned earlier, Steve Fezzik jumping out to the early lead in this with a 5-1 record. Alex Christensen at 4-1, followed by Kyle Akins at 3-0. JVT 3-1, because he got the Norm Powell shot to go. Carl Sack himself at 3-1. Carl Sack trying to win his own contest here. And Scott Raquel at 3-3 as well. They are in the lead early. Fezzik 5-1, doing his thing. We have Carl Sack here momentarily. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I want to get to some of these first real quick. Dan Groeschel. Kelly takes a vacation to Turks and Caicos. Last week I was on quote-unquote vacation with the kids at Disney World. I'm only a lot jealous of his vacation. Me too, Dan. Michael Harrison. Gil, after seeing the NBA and NHL scores this weekend, are the haves and have-nots becoming more of a thing? Since the college football playoff, it seems that favorites are just blowing away their opponents at a very high rate across all major sports. Well, Michael, that's why I go through it real briefly at the top here, because it was largely a kind of ho-hum first weekend in the NBA playoffs. Though I'm sure there are going to be those that, take away from it. Well, one, the Timberwolves-Lakers blowout wasn't necessarily what they saw coming. And also in games like the Pistons-Knicks and obviously the Warriors-Rockets, maybe there would have been a different outcome had things sort of gone differently at the very end. But really the only one competitive, Clippers-Nuggets at the end, and we'll get Carl's thoughts here on that momentarily. Last name Nash, we better get an opening segment recap of WrestleMania. Wyatt has more to say. He's going to say more in a bit. Ryan Hyatt, Dear Gil, what part of Florida in absentia is Kelly under? Hurricane watch there? I'll hang up and listen. Yeah, I'm not sure. I hope everything's okay. Usually has bad inclement weather wherever he goes on vacation. And Mike Rouse, are we going to discuss the NBA award finalists, especially Defensive Player of the Year? Yes, we must, as we bring in Carl Sack from Killer Sports and KillerCappers.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Carl, I'm just going to read these. So MVP, Giannis is a finalist along with SGA and Nikola Jokic. You would expect that. Rookie of the Year, Stephon Castle with Zachary Risa-Shea and Jalen Wells. Okay. Sixth man, Peyton Pritchard is in there with Malik Beasley and Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome, by the way, going off, assisting or scoring the first 24 points of the fourth quarter for the Cavs yesterday. But the real shocker, as Mike Rouse alludes to, is Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know if it's a shocker, but it is the one that raises eyebrows for those of us who bet. Draymond, Evan Mobley, Dyson Daniels, no sign of Dort or SGA from OKC. Are you a little surprised by that at all? I know you're not an awards guy necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, there's so many guys that I feel like there's a lot of guys that you can really make the argument for. I mean, even Drew Holiday is a lockdown defender. And the Celtics were one of the top defensive teams this year. So I haven't dug into this, to this category very much. Off the top of my head, I probably lean towards Mobley actually, but, I don't know.
Yeah, Coach of the Year, Atkinson, Bickerstaff, Udoka, no surprise there. Most Improved, Cade Cunningham, along with Dyson Daniels and Zubats. And Clutch, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, and Nikola Jokic. No Trae Young on that list for Clutch Player of the Year. That might surprise some folks. You had a good weekend, I know, betting-wise. The Lakers' first half was the only thing that didn't come home for you. Everything else did, as I recall. Is that the one? Is that the answer to the question of what surprised you the most, the Lakers being so listless?
Yeah, definitely. They started off, they played a good first 10 minutes of that game, but the second quarter really went south and continued to go for the rest of the game.
It was a, it's one of those things, though. I'm not sure if you saw this in your underlying numbers at all, that the Lakers, when they had that tremendous stretch towards the end of the regular season, they really were kind of the beneficiaries of some good three-point luck on the other side. Did you notice that as well, that maybe that regression was bound to happen at some point? Who knew that it would happen in game one with the T-Wolves? But did you see that when you were analyzing it?
Yeah, yeah. I think JBT actually pointed that out on his show maybe 3-4 weeks ago. It's a good observation by him.
T-Wolves shot 50% from behind the arc, set a playoff franchise record with 21 made three-pointers in that game. So eventually their opponent was going to go off, and that's what happened on Saturday. Let me ask you this. OKC beats Memphis by 51. Obviously, no one saw a 51-point win coming, led by as many as 56. But the spread in Game 1 was 13, if I'm not mistaken, consensus. And you ask yourself, or at least I did, okay, they win by 51. What's the adjustment on a Game 2 spread to something like that? Not from your perspective, but what's the market going to do? And the answer is about a point and a half, 2 points. Was there anything you saw in that game or anything in your analysis that would tell me not to bet a sweep here?
No. No, I would. I think that's the most likely scenario at this point, certainly.
And is that adjustment nearly enough? Like, is this just going to get bet up between now and tip-off for game two?
I think it is. I am eyeing betting OKC in game two. Oftentimes you get teams to make adjustments and bounce back in game two, but I think that happens more often in series that are potentially going to be competitive. You know, like the Clippers game tonight, I would expect them to make some adjustments that are tangible. In this matchup, I just have it so far off, you know, especially with Wells being out, Brandon Clark being hurt earlier in the year, the way Memphis has been trending, the differential in rest. There's just so many things coming into this series that I don't think that this line is going to close any lower than 14.5.
Yeah, I mean, that was my immediate reaction was, for those of us who had OKC minus the points, I know you did. If you had them in game one, what would ever prevent you from playing them auto again here, game two, with very little of an adjustment? And you've just confirmed that for me right now. I just, even if you didn't have them, why wouldn't you jump in? It was an unbelievable sort of display of dominance in that game. And SGA didn't even play that great right on top of it. To add to that, it wasn't really a great performance by him, relatively speaking. About tonight, though, let's start with the Clippers and the Nuggets, which is the marquee matchup of the two games tonight. You did not have a play in game one. This has shifted from the Nuggets being a short favorite to now the Clippers being a short favorite, despite the fact that Denver did win game one in overtime. Is there a play for you on the side, or is this still a stay away?
It's tough because this line closed Denver by 2.5 in game one, and now you're looking at Clippers by 1.5. So it's a 4-point shift. And I would lean towards the Clippers playing better than they did last game. But with that much of a move, it's hard to back them. It would be Clippers or pass for me. As a Nuggets fan, that was such a great game to watch. And I don't know if I can watch five or six more of those games. Man, what a great game.
What I mean, I mentioned a couple things about game one, and I guess maybe this is part of it, which is this likely to happen again? Is it likely for the Clippers to have 20 turnovers? Is it likely for Kawhi to only score 4 points in the final 7:45? He had 7 turnovers himself. Is it likely that they won't be able to maintain a 15-point lead again if they got up that high? So I guess it's a bunch of those things.
Yeah, I know. I don't think any of those things are necessarily likely. I would like to think that Denver makes some adjustments as well, though. You know, like, it just seemed like so many times Westbrook is pushing the ball when he's down, like he's on a breakaway and he's at 1-on-3, 2-on-4, pushing the ball to the rim. you know, Adelman mentioned it after the game, and gosh, I hope that he's conscious enough to not do that, but we'll see. You know, that's kind of Westbrook. You know, he's just got one motor.
He's got one motor. The decision making is often not good, and yet he had huge plays in game one. Anything with the Knicks and Pistons? I know you didn't have anything in game one. Anything on this one? Right around the same spread of six here.
I would look at the I'm waiting on the Isaiah Stewart injury. You know, things really changed in that game in the fourth quarter. When he got hurt early in the fourth, I believe it was. And he's a really good defensive player. And that game totally turned when he left. And so I'm going to keep an eye out on that injury. I think if he's out, maybe over is the way to go here.
Maybe over. 220 and a half, by the way, spread. We're showing 6.5, I should say. 220 and a half on the spread right now. So Carl monitoring that through the day, staying off the Clippers and the Nuggets for now. Carl, thank you. Appreciate it, man. And thanks for doing this contest. We love it.
Oh, I'm having a great time. Thanks for being a part of it.
VSiN.com/challenge. Also for anybody who wants to follow along the standings. Baseball with Paul Spohr next right here on The Numbers Game.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa, and DraftKings gives you insights into where the sharp action is landing. Circa, known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN Summer Special right now for only $59 until August 1st. At VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander. The entire break, Wes and Wyatt are nerding out on WrestleMania. Of course, WrestleMania 12, Wyatt said it was, Brett Michaels and Hart? No, I don't know the names. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. I always appreciate the feedback. See Spackler. I suspected that All-Star Wrestling was not real back in 1963 when I was 5, and it was on black and white TV. When I was 6, I figured out the good guy, bad guy setup. Couldn't bet my edge, so I lost interest after that. Go, Crusher. Beat the Romanoff twins. I've lost all control. Ben Handorf. I'm surprised Spore hasn't heard Gil's Ernie impression, almost as elite as Gilly's D'Ernest Johnson impression. Actually, that's an Ernie Johnson impression. Every time D'Ernest Johnson came up on Guessing Lines, I would break into the Ernie Johnson. Bill Hooker. Wes sold himself short. Pretty sure he was 9-1 on placement market bets for the RBC Heritage. What say you, Wes? Were you 9-1?
Colin Morikawa, who I bet for top 10, he's Colin Parikawa because he did not make many birdies for me. He's a guy I thought had a chance to win the tournament. So, you know, ended up with a little bit of a profit, certainly not as much as the outright. But, Gil, before we move on to the NBA, I do want to say I saw a bunch of the fans around town for WrestleMania, and look, I don't like the cosplay as grown-ass adults, you know, when you're dressing like a wrestler, but I don't mind all the t-shirts supporting your favorite wrestler or supporting the sport or the form of entertainment, and I did see a great t-shirt. Pro wrestling is real. People are fake.
Okay. Did you?
I love that t-shirt. I did. I would not wear it, yeah. Nor would I buy it, but I like the message.
I understand. You, before we move on from this Michigas, you wanted to say something about the ramp. Was that it?
Yeah. Last night, when everybody apparently, because I was texting with some people that were in the stadium on Sunday night, and last night when everybody, because there's downtime, because they got to set up the stage and everything for the main event, so it's kind of like a little break in the show, and that's where everybody's going to the restroom or going to the merch stand or wherever, and then all of a sudden the glass shatters. And that's when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out. There were literally grown men running back to their seats from the bathroom to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. He comes down the ramp on this, you know, four-wheeler ATV and speeds down the ramp and does like little laps around the ring like he's, you know, in the Daytona 500 or something. He gets distracted and looks at the announcer's table as he's taking the lap around the ring and crashes into the barricade and like knocks the front row, especially this one lady. It was just like timbered. She just falls over back into her seat and he's getting in the ring to announce the attendance and, you know, cut a little promo, and the audience obviously loves Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's one of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling. And so he's going in to announce that. As the camera is on him, Nick Khan, who is the CEO of WWE, you know, longtime sports agent, a guy actually was born and raised here in Las Vegas, kind of a real mover and the shaker in the industry, sprints over to see if this lady is okay, you know, or maybe to have a release form in hand or offer her something for her troubles. So, sprinted over is like, man, we really don't want a lawsuit here because it's on live pay-per-view. It's on for everybody to see all over the world. He just crashes right into the barricade. And then kind of when he gets off the ATV, he says, oh, sorry about that, and then gets in the ring and does what he does. But yeah, kind of a funny moment, but you're like, okay, is that lady okay? Apparently no worse for wear.
When actual real stuff happens during WrestleMania 41. All right, to the NBA. Because you were following this too. Your Pacers started things off this weekend with a blowout of the Bucks, the Lillard-less Bucks, we should point out. What was your big takeaway from this weekend? What are you betting here? Anything tonight?
Yeah, and I did bet I was a little bit surprised. Dame is going to play in this series, but he was going to miss game one. I'm guessing he's going to be back for game two. So I guess I wasn't surprised to see that series price discounted. But it got down there. I think even at circa to minus 145 for the Pacers, and that's when I grabbed it. So now it's about minus 275, minus 280. I know the Bucks beat the Pacers 3 out of 4 this season, but a lot of that stuff you can't weigh too much simply because you have guys that sit out games, you have injuries at a different time. But the Pacers, I thought, kind of got discounted. There was another platform, I believe, sponsored by a certain sports book that said, I haven't really watched the Pacers very much this year. A couple former NBA players on that program. And it's like, well, if you haven't, they've been the fourth best record in the NBA since January 1st. Like, this is a good team. Tyrese Halliburton is healthy. They're deep. And I just thought, man, this team's getting a little bit discounted. Even with Dame coming back, I think they're better than the Bucks. And I, you know, you don't want to, okay, say, oh, they blew them out in game one, you know, and just discount the Bucks. But I think that they're better than this team. So I feel good about the Pacers. The Clippers, who got moved to favorites over the Nuggets in the series, there wasn't much of a move the other way. Usually it is substantial. I think the Clippers closed like minus 115, minus 120 in the series. They covered late, but the Nuggets held on to get the game one win. And the Clippers now are only like a plus $1.10 or plus $1.15. So that tells you that there's a lot of respect for the Clippers, mm-hmm. I think. And I still think they're going to win the series. I think they're laying one now. They were about 1.5 point underdogs when they opened for game two. Now they're laying one pretty much across the board. This Clippers team, this defense has been, other than what we saw with the Thunder yesterday, where they absolutely swallowed Memphis and beat them by 50. You know, they were up by 50 at one point in that game. Clippers, I think, are probably the second best defensive team in the league. I know they're up there in D rating. So Clippers still getting a lot of respect in the market, and I think rightfully so. I kind of think they're the dark horse in the West.
Now, on the other hand, right, the other team still has Nikola Jokic, last I checked, right? So
yes.
I'm wondering, because obviously we're super close to the sun on all these sports and betting it, but it is really the Clippers' love from the NBA hardos is so consensus, it feels like, that I just wonder what would take that feeling off of that finally. Would it be a 2-0 Denver lead, or would that not even do it, right? Because then it'll go to, well, they just did what they were supposed to do, that kind of thing. By the way, you mentioned the thing about the Pacers and the announcers sort of like not even getting, like, you did follow the NBA this year. That was only topped by Jay Billis. Did you catch this? In the Lakers game, calling LeBron not a complainer, generally speaking. That was awesome. That went over well.
No, man, never. Good call. Never complains about a call. Speaking of the Lakers, though, I never want to overreact to game one. I don't like what I saw out of the Lakers, and I think that they were getting all the hype coming in because Pelinka won the Executive of the Year, and look, they have their next superstar for the next several years once LeBron hangs it up with Luka Doncic. But I felt like the Lakers for the playoffs probably were better with AD on the team, actually. And they just don't have the length to guard some of these guys on the Timberwolves, really, with the Reed and, you know, McDaniels and all these guys. And this Minnesota team, by the way, has some playoff pedigree. Remember, they ran it all the way, you know, to the West Finals last year, and they've got one of the more clutch players in the league with Anthony Edwards. So I didn't like what I saw out of the Lakers. I don't think that they're winning this series at all. You never want to overreact to game one, but I think the Lakers are getting bounced.
Yeah, I said this earlier, but the one thing that I'm totally, and people can call it an overreaction, but I'm totally reacting to, is I laid the points with the Thunder in game one. I see no reason why not to lay them again against the Grizzlies and probably do it in games three and four, whatever those adjustments are on the road. Because I just, that, I get it. They're not going to win by 51 every night, but good God, SGA didn't even play that great, relatively speaking. So for me, that's the ultimate sweep sort of thing.
They might have one dud, but I think they're going to win the series comfortably. Just and people that may have thought, oh, the Thunder are just a regular season team. That team won 68 games.
Yeah.
And they're going to be tough to beat, and they are so connected, you know, with the chemistry. And I think having that experience last year, because usually the first time you have a good season and you get into the playoffs, it's like too much for you, right? It's too much too soon for a young team. But now that they've got Chet healthy and they've got really good defenders and you got the guy that's going to win the MVP with SGA, like you were saying, they're going to be tough to beat. And everybody's kind of looking for that team that's like, okay, who's the dark horse? You know, all these teams can knock them off. That was very impressive yesterday to come out in game one, a week off, not have a clunker, and just absolutely destroy Memphis.
So just to clarify, are you on the Clippers tonight, or are you touching the Knicks Pistons at all?
I am on the Clippers. If I can get seven with the Pistons, I'll be there, because I thought the Pistons were at least going to take this six games. Bad fourth quarter. Knicks went on like a 21-0 run, but
21-0. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Pistons, though, I know they're young and inexperienced, but I think they can compete here.
It was also how they reacted afterwards. I was talking about, it was such a strange final 90 seconds. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
You bet, Gil. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. Coming back with Andy Molitor on the draft.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, it's time to plan your Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties, Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. That's VSiN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com. Use VSiN15 to get 15% off your Vegas adventure. Starts here. Breaking news, Cooper Flagg is declared for the NBA draft. I'm told in my ear by Wyatt Tomchek. And our next guest quipped very quickly right off. He goes, wow, he could go high in his typical humorous fashion. It is the second part of the Drew Dinsick, Andy Molitor duo. I always say Andy's name every week when Drew comes on, part of the Deep Dive podcast, and now they do their daily deep dives, the both of them, each and every morning, and they're having a great time doing it. Andy Molitor joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, and you can follow Andy on Twitter at AndyMSFW. How you doing, man?
Not too bad for a Monday.
Not too bad for
holiday weekend, but not one of the wilder holidays, I suppose.
No, not one of the wilder ones. On the daily, you were saying this off air, but you're also giving it time to breathe. You guys are even breaking down the next Pope. May Pope Francis rest in peace.
Yeah, that's going to be a market that's going to be up. I'm going to have to rewatch Conclave, I guess. It was a good film.
Yeah, going to have to rewatch it. So we're giving that time to breathe. We won't get into it this morning. Let me ask you, so let's go to the NFL draft, and you and Drew do a great job with this. We love, as you guys do, betting the NFL draft. Let's start with the macro first. Are you of the mindset that most people don't know much here, or are you starting to come around on this?
I think it's one of those years where most people don't know much. You know, the information is meted out in little bits, and you kind of have to be quick and willing to lay some juice because, you know, when it became very apparent who the number one pick was, that price was reasonable. It's not reasonable anymore. You could have bet that. You know, it makes it tough in the content game, too, because some of this informational stuff is just, oh, everyone's going to go run and bet this now. We can't even talk about this tomorrow morning, really. So, I mean, some of the bets I have are decent. I have two or three, but obviously they're blown out of the water at this point as, you know, the first two or three picks have kind of come into focus, I guess, and the rest of the draft feels pretty crapshooty, despite some people with quite a bit of confidence, I guess, in some of these picks, even in the top 10.
Yeah, I have five picks, but the first one is the only one I love, which is Travis Hunter to go number two. Got him at like plus 135, which wasn't nice. The best price you could get him at, but now he's obviously prohibitive favorite. I'm curious, do you think, where does it stop? So Cam Ward to Tennessee, Hunter 2 to the Browns, Carter 3 to the Giants. Are we sure about that at least?
I think we're sure about that. And man, everybody out of New England is really sure that that pick is kind of locked in stone. Obviously, we had some stuff this morning from Schefter throwing a little mud in the water on the Jags pick, but some of that feels like posturing for possible trades as well. If the first five just go chalk, so be it. I think, it's probably 50-50 that we don't get something weird. But from there, the confidence that people have in 6 and 7 is a little disconcerting considering just all the new GMs. We rolled over like 6 to 7 GMs every year. And we have a bunch of guys we've never seen make picks. And obviously we have new coaching staffs, new brain trusts in Vegas and New York. So I think those are where kind of the draft might get really interesting at 6, 7, 8.
Well, that I think that's such a great point. And by the way, our buddy Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, he threw out over 5.5 now on Graham, which is his way of perhaps, riffing off the Schefter news. Is like, hey, I don't think the Jaguars are actually going to pick Graham at 5. I think your greatest point, Kelly was talking about this off air, maybe even on air last week, in a draft where we don't know much after the very, very tippy top of it. Maybe the way to exploit then is the positional markets, right? I think that's such a great point. Luke was on here, just to reference him again, saying last week, hey, New Orleans to go defensive line / edge at 7-1 with their first pick. You might as well take a flyer on something like that. You agree with that general philosophy?
Yeah, that's kind of been my go-to over the last few days is when I've been looking at some of these markets because, there's two ways to approach it. Either you know the answer, so you have to go find as many ways to hammer it. I mean, I remember when we figured out Walker was going first overall, and it's like, how many different ways can we make this bet? Do we know who two is now at this point? And, when you have information, you just go find a million ways to bet it. Nope, doesn't matter what the juice is if you're sure of you're sure of the source. But with this, I think you look at the percentages and look at some of the stuff that could, happen in front of it. Like, well, what weird stuff could happen and where could we go from there? Because especially the Jets. I bet the Jets this morning. I found a 23-1 to, what was it? I'm going to have to reference it because it's like 16-1 in some other places. But there was a 23-1 to go linebacker for the Jets this morning. And I know everything. Oh, this is such a perfect fit at number 8. And maybe it's not the best fit. But we got Glenn in New York now. And when he was part of the Lions staff, they were certainly not just drafting, hey, here's the best fit and here's our greatest need and this is the guy that we need to take right now and that everybody's mocking to the Lions. Like, he was part of that staff that kind of went a little wild the draft. And if Walker went to the Jets, I don't know, maybe that's your Zach Bond. Maybe that's kind of a key to unlocking some of the things at the second and third level there for you. And I've seen stranger things and just some big numbers on some stuff that definitely has higher than, whatever that's implied to, like a 3-4% chance to happen.
I totally agree. That's a great strategy on this because I do think it's going to be mayhem, maybe starting at 5. Where are you on Genty now? Like, if I said to you, all right, Andy, is he going to the Raiders at 6 or not? What's your answer to that?
I mean, some pretty strong conviction from some people in the know saying he isn't going past 6.
Oh,
but
okay.
That stuff with the Jaguars, that really has me, wondering what would happen. Because let's say the Jaguars do have some interest that nobody knew about until now, or somebody trades into that spot and he's gone at 5. I think that's another one, too, where if that's something you believe, I think you have to act on the Raiders as well. You have to make some bets there because you can, you can probably look at them to maybe take defense at that point. I guess that was another one, too, that we attacked last week, Drew and I, on the Daily Show. Offensive line to the Raiders, before that got a little heat, was like 9-1. And that's come way down to the point where I'm looking at maybe hedging that off with some other positions now.
I think that really is how the way to start on this draft is those positional markets. I think it's as good a strategy of anything in a draft that could go completely sideways here. And then your buddy, your podcast partner, Drew, who's kind enough to come on this show every Tuesday, he may end up being right about this. I'm not saying he's not going to be, but I was amazed at the confidence. And apparently when you and I were just talking off air, you might be as well. I was amazed at the confidence he had that Shador could go early second round, that the Giants working him out was them legitimately working him out for their second round pick. You don't completely buy that.
No, just because it is quarterback and it is, you know, it's the parlay, man. It's the big hit. If you get that one right, if you believe in your scouts and your information and you believe in one of these quarterbacks that's not Ward further down the board and you're the Rams, you're the Steelers, you're another team, maybe the Saints trading back in. If you hit that and you're a GM, you just bought yourself 10 more years in the corner office. Like, it's such a perfect risk reward kind of thing to go for some of these guys. And man, we saw this last year with some of the teams that weren't New England. You know, you had those quarterbacks go at the top. You know, we went quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And there was a lot of smoke with Minnesota taking one. And obviously Denver was thinking about it. The Raiders were obviously thinking about it. But I thought Denver, Minnesota, and, you know, maybe especially Atlanta, they were really quiet about it. So I think some of these teams that are quarterback needy and maybe even less needy than, you know, the highest need quarterback teams, they're just keeping their mouth shut because there's a bunch of guys in the same tier. There's a bunch of teams that may trade back into the first. So I think it's another case of we just don't have any information and we might be super surprised at two or three teams taking quarterbacks early on, especially if they trade back into the first.
Yeah, Todd McShay came out this morning. He said he'd bet under 2.5 quarterbacks, but I'm with you. I just think these GMs, and somewhat justifiably, right? You're nothing without a quarterback. They've got to take a shot. So maybe it is mum's the word at this point. So I leave you with this. We only have 30 seconds. If the bets you've made are far gone, if someone was landing here today and they're like, I want to make one bet in the NFL draft, what do you say to them right now?
You know, I did take some over 14.5 on the SEC.
Oh, okay.
I started looking at that as an under bet because there are so many guys that are near the end of that round. But every time I said, well, who replaces him to bump him out? It was just another SEC guy. There's just like eight SEC guys that are kind of in that 25 to 35 range. And it just really feels like we end up with 15 or 16 there. So I laid a little juice on that.
Andy Molitor, everybody. Andy, Deep Dive Daily, what time does it come out every day, roughly?
9:30 Central. So what is that? Your time. 7:30 out on the Pacific Coast.
There you go. Andy, appreciate it, man. Good to see you.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Look at this guy right here. That's the voice of UNLV women's basketball, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what? We can talk about the Lady Rebels more than WrestleMania, so you can... WrestleMania, you know, I enjoyed this for the one day. We'll hold it for next year, but the Lady Rebels, we can go 365.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll do a little less than 365 on
okay,
that.
Okay, I know.
364. It's funny. I did a whole segment there with Andy Molitor on the NFL draft, but it's funny what people glean from it. JC, this is on Twitter. We get tweets. JC562076. 2075 was taken. Did you just say breaking down who's the next Pope? You can bet on that? I'm assuming that's offshore. P.S. Go Dubs. Yes, go Dubs. And yes, you can bet on it. By the way, the Jason Weingartens of the world, obsessed with these kinds of things. Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy, he goes, betting into a market for the next Pope has to be a direct bath to HE double hockey sticks, he says. And that's why we're giving it time to rest. And by the way, rest in peace, Pope Francis, a very progressive Pope, very beloved as well. But yes, in our little corner of the world, some people, not me, some people.
I was about to say, don't tell me that you bet it because the lightning might come down
no,
and
no,
get
no,
me.
No, I don't bet on such things.
Okay.
At least not yet. By the way, so the NFL draft tomorrow, not only will we have Drew on the show on A Numbers Game talking NFL draft and NBA and tennis with us as both the men's and ladies tour goes into Madrid for a 1,000 tournaments or 1,000 tournaments, plural. But we'll talk NFL draft with Drew tomorrow on the show. And then after the show, so 2 hours after the show, after Stormy does Money Moves, we'll come in here and we'll do the Beating the Book NFL draft podcast with Drew and Luke Swain, Vegas Refund. All their latest bets, all their latest thoughts on the NFL draft. By that time, we'll be close to 48 hours away to the NFL draft, which, of course, is Thursday night. It's also on YouTube Live.
Yes, we're going to be trying to set that up, get everything all ready to go. But, yeah, just people, if they want to go check the VSiN page, go to the live section, and I'll give you a link to tweet out. But okay. You can watch kind of even the behind the scenes. So, Darnell, unfortunately, sorry, you have to work a little extra tomorrow. So and you have to pay Isaiah $100 for the studio.
What? Is that what he's doing? He's running a little business in here?
Would you be surprised?
No, I would not be. So wait, so it's for the NFL Draft Live.
Yep.
It's YouTube. It's the VSiN YouTube channel, mm-hmm. And then you go to the live tab.
Yes.
And it'll be me in here with Luke. Will they be able to see Luke and Drew on? It's not just gonna be on me the whole time, right?
No. We'll put a three box and
looking forward
ready
to
go.
Yeah. NFL Draft Pod. We're trying to make money here. We're trying to make bets.
May I ask you? I mean, we've been talking about me loving WrestleMania,
you can ask me anything. Why?
For the NFL Draft, where does that rank for you in sporting events that you like?
Oh, it's way up there. It's Christmas for adults. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest thing in the world. From a betting standpoint, it used to be tippy top. Like, it used to be top of the top because it used to be, as we've said many times here, an ATM machine. But it hasn't been the last 2 years, which is why, you know, now the books want all this credit here in Vegas. They're like, oh, look, we have NFL draft props up. Yeah, and then they take them down 2 nights from now, and they want, like, a blue ribbon. They want a gold star for their efforts. It's like, you know, have a loss leader. Give better something. Trust me, you're going to win in the long run. Like, you know that. But the inability to even step out on the slightest limb with this stuff. And they've won the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I remember you saying there were a couple drafts where you did really well.
Oh, if you're a Numbers Game listener long enough, you know we had like 2 or 3 years where we just destroyed it. Remember, that was the one where we sort of...
Was that the Trey Lance one?
That was, well, no, the Trey Lance one we did well on. Okay. Yes. That was the last great one, I think. Mm-hmm. What was that? 2021?
2021.
Oh no. So there was a good one after that too.
Okay.
But the, I mean, this goes back as far as, I mean, VSiN started in 2017. I want to say I was doing the NFL draft before most of the others were. Now it's like a big cottage industry, but there was a couple years there where we were the only ones doing it on a numbers game. And 2018, if you remember, was the year where William Hill tried to screw bettors, and we talked about it on air, right? Gave them the chance to take it down, right? They didn't want to do it. We did the whole segment on it, and Nick Bogdanovich was a man about it. He immediately, right after the segment, was like, tell everybody to call me. We'll get everybody paid. And by the way, that's exactly how I handled the Westgate thing, even though they lied and said I handled it differently. That's the exact same way I handled that. I said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to talk about it on air. Mm-hmm. They twisted it into a lie. Right. Kept lying about it, got people here to lie about it also, because those are their friends. And we handled everything the exact same way. Right. And so that's as far back as we've gone beating that NFL draft in 2018. I think we're like 12-1.
OK.
Yeah. So but now it's not as good. And this draft is very difficult to understand what's going to happen after the fourth pick. Because now it doesn't. I don't know if the Jaguars are going to take Graham at 5. I don't know if the Raiders are going to take Jeudy at 6.
Would you say the most polarizing player to figure out where he's going to go, is it Shedeur Sanders?
It's representative of the wide variance of where he can go from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Some people still think that because teams are really desirous of quarterbacks, justifiably so. You're nothing in this league without a good one. That maybe New Orleans will still take him at 9. Now we're starting to hear they won't. If he doesn't go at 9, like Andy and I were just talking about this more off air than we were on, Drew could be right. Maybe Shedeur Sanders goes second round, but Drew is so confident about it that I'm like, whoa, you're that. Like, I think Andy might be right. I think if now everybody knows that he's going to drop, that somebody's going to trade in. Or somebody who's just sitting quiet late in the first round is just going to be like, well, guess what? We're taking a quarterback. Shedeur, you're coming to pick your team late, you know, in the 20s somewhere. So I just, the McShay thing where he's now saying it's under 2.5 quarterbacks, he seems really confident about that, but good God, I don't know. It's an interesting draft because if what he's saying is also true, right? If Shador and Jackson Dart last year were only going to be like the sixth or seventh best quarterbacks, it just shows you it's like at some point what takes over. These teams desire to take a, you know, take a lottery, you know, a shot on a quarterback just in the hopes that they just happen to get lucky and this guy pans out. Or do they rely on their evaluation and say, well, as much as our instinct is to try to hit a home run, to mix metaphors, the fact of the matter is they're not really that good. And so we gotta fight that instinct.
And then for GMs, if you strike out on a quarterback in the first round, you're updating the resume reel.
You are behind the eight ball badly.
Yep.
That's the thing. But the alternative is, this is why the NFL is so tough, right? The alternative is what, we're going to go through another season with nobody?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Browns are dealing with it. The Browns are like, well, yeah, we get it. We'll be probably high in the draft next year too, but we're prepared for that. Some teams aren't. Some teams are like, no, we're not prepared to do that. So they gotta, you know, sort of ad lib from that point. It's a tough thing, man. The NFL draft is the most inexact science there is. And then on top of that, we're betting on it, trying to figure out how these people are going to play it inexactly, if that makes sense. So it's a fascinating thing. But to answer your initial question, it's not at the top anymore because there's so much more uncertainty to me. To our best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Every host, every guest, every sport that is bet on this network, recapped by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Paul Spohr, Marlins under. These are adjusted Major League Baseball season win totals. Marlins under 62.5 wins. White Sox over 51.5 wins. How about that? He gave his reasoning as to why he thinks the Marlins are going to be sellers, and he thinks the White Sox will still be able to cobble together close to 60 wins. This from Wes Reynolds, who came on the show here earlier this hour. This is today. He's on the Cardinals team total under 3.5 runs. He is on the Blue Jays plus 0.5 a run first five. That is this day in baseball. And then he's going back to the Clippers. Well, Clippers to win the series now, down a game against the Nuggets in the best of 7 first round Western Conference series, plus 115 on the Clippers. Again, not a huge adjustment to the market. So he is on the Clippers, as are so many folks on the Clippers in this series. And then Andy Molitor did give us one bet here. The ones that he has in pocket are far gone, but the one that is readily available for everybody, he went with a conference play over 14.5 SEC players in the first round. In other words, they will either flirt with or achieve having, according to that bet, half of the players picked in the entire first round of the NFL draft. Would that not be something? 14.5, of course, he could thread the needle with 15, but wow, over 14.5 SEC players. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, once again, upping the ante as they always do, with a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We don't have to talk about WrestleMania 41 anymore. That covers it today.
We did Friday and Monday. I appreciate you. I'm indebted to you for the rest of my life.
No, you're not. I'm just glad that the event was such an amazing experience for you.
It was.
Life-changing.
Yes, but I didn't buy an expensive belt. Don't worry.
How much do those cost?
Hundreds of dollars. I've had to buy one for fantasy football because I finished them last.
And people buy them.
Yes.
Money Moves with Stormy and Matt next. Right here at VSiN.